Begin the current daf Masechtas Brachas daf Lamed Vav. Begin with Tais Divrei Maaskel. Tais begins with the words of the Gemara, lo yar'enu, one shouldn't gargle, which Tais asks and Rashi's interpretation and brings a different interpretation. The Gemara brought a brayse that said if someone has a throatache, something is bothering him in his throat on Shabbos, and the way for the medicinal therapeutic is to put into his throat oil and leave it there a little bit so that it could soothe the throat, one's not allowed to do this arenu with oil initially on Shabbos. So Pirish Rashi explains that what does it mean lo yarenu? It means l'hashay say one's not allowed to delay what we would call gargle the oil in the throat, but what he's allowed to do is he's allowed to put a lot of oil into that nigroin, as the Braisa says, and swallow it. In other words, to drink that nigroin, which is a type of a food, and that's a type of a cooked beet dish, that's permitted to go ahead. But what's forbidden is to go ahead and gargle it. That's how Rashi interprets Lo Yarenu. It says, Tais Vimtem, if you're going to say, B'nim Kein, if that's the case, that the whole prohibition, the way Rashi is translating, is the problem about gargling in the throat. So why did the Braisa at the end have to say that, okay, but the permitted way is with the beet soup, meaning don't just do it with oil itself. You do it beet soup, then it's going to be permitted. Why do you have to say that? The Braisa could have differentiated in the case of the oil itself, and it should have qualified the way Rashi is saying. When did we say it's prohibited is when you're just gargling the oil in the throat. That's the prohibition. Yes, if you have it with the beet soup, so that's not a problem. But it should have said even the oil itself is a way that it's going to be permitted. If you go ahead and you swallow the oil right away, then that's going to be okay. My ear yaldea nigrin. Why did the Braisa have to say that, oh, you're right, it's forbidden to do the oil in Shabbos, so what are you going to do? So do it with the beet soup. Why say that? There's an approach even just the oil itself, lavali la'alter, if you swallow immediately, the way Rashi is translating ya'areno, of gargling, the hainu la'ashayse says that's just to gargle it, to delay it. But if you don't, if you swallow it straight, according to Rashi, that would be permitted. So why do you have to say when it's talking about the way it's going to be permitted is with the beet soup? You could say it's going to be permitted even the oil itself. Just don't gargle it, just swallow it straight up. So Al-Kain Pirish Ari, therefore the Reed disagrees with Rashi, and he says, Lo Yarenu, what that means to say is, no, afilu b'bliya b'loy shehiya. The prohibition of Yarenu is even if one swallows without any delay, without gargling. Shekol shtiya she'ina el refu, because any drinking that's only for medicinal purposes, for healing, karli iru, that's called gargling, meaning, mafilu k'shabayli, even if you swallowed right away and you're not delaying it in the throat, that's forbidden. And that's essentially what gargling is supposed to do for the, even if one's not delaying, that's going to be forbidden. That's called Yareno. And says Taisa, behind the time of the mitzvah, so why is that forbidden? You're not gargling, you're not doing any medicinal thing, you're just swallowing right away. The reason why it's forbidden is because it's obvious, the refu kumachavin, that he's doing it for medicinal purposes because drinking oil is not fit to drink as a beverage. And whatever's not fit for a regular person to be drinking, it's forbidden because of refuah on Shabbos, that the Rabbanan made it forbidden to take any type of medicine because of the concern of someone's going to grind down the herbs, which is the Issa Dairaisa of Teichen. And therefore, they said all types of medicine is forbidden. So therefore, we have a machlekes between Rashi and the Ri. According to Rashi, it's forbidden only to delay it, what we call gargle. According to the Ri, it's even forbidden to drink it straight up because that is obvious that it's for refuah. Or Inami, another approach says Teich, says, Yesh li Yasha Pirish Rashi, actually could resolve the interpretation of Rashi from the question that we had asked. And because Rashi said, Lo Yarenu, yes, it means Lahashaisai, to delay. What do you mean to delay? So then when you're saying that it's permitted, so say that it's if you don't delay. No, the reason why they picked Yarenu, that you shouldn't do it, Lahashaisai, was to infer regarding the halacha of the Seifa, which then the Braisa said, Avol Noisen Hulatecha Nigrin. But when it's going to be permitted, is that if you put the oil into that Nigrin, meaning, because we wanted to tell you in that case, when you put into that nigrin, that is going to be permitted vafil ha-shaisai, even if you're gargling. Because since this is a valid beverage, there's no isser refuah on Shabbos, only if somebody that's not fit to be drunk, and which is obvious for refuah. So here, where it's a regular drink, so then you could gargle it, because you could gargle your drink that you're drinking. That's why we wanted to say, lo yareno, when it's by itself, then you cannot be masha, then you can't gargle. But for the inference of the seifa, when it's with a beet soup, yeah, then you could gargle it. And you're right, according to this interpretation for Rashi, when it says labalai, it's actually a different case. It's oi, or another way that it's permitted for a fua of shemen on Shabbos, is bailai, when he swallows it. That is a different case. That's be'enei b'loy shehir. You're right. That's going to be permitted, even just the oil itself, as long as one doesn't delay and gargle it. That's inferred from the ratio, where the only way it's forbidden is if it's just oil and you're gargling, then it's going to be forbidden. But if, let's say, it's not just oil, then even if you gargle, and if it is just oil, but you don't delay, then you're right, then it's going to be permitted. So what it comes out from Tosfos is that Rashi's interpretation, lo yarenu, was specifically gargling the oil by itself, that's forbidden. Because now you're doing something that's obviously doing it for refuah. Now, that Taisa asked, if that's the case, then why didn't the Braisa differentiate in oil itself, that permitted to drink the oil if you're not gargling in your throat, but you swallow it right away? So therefore, Taisa disagreed. And he said that you're right, it's going to be forbidden even if you swallow it right away, because oil itself, no one drinks it, it's obviously doing for refuah. But Taisa then resolved Rashi's interpretation. He says that actually, the reason why the Braisa picked the case of Lo Ya'ar, which we said, according to Rashi, means don't gargle, is to infer for the Sefer. To tell you, but if it's a beverage that is fit for people to drink, like this beet soup, then it's permitted even if you're going to gargle in your throat. So it comes out, according to Taisa, that if it has one flaw, which if, let's say, the beverage is not fit for drinking, rather it's generally used for a fool, or if, let's say, you do it in the obvious way of a fool, like gargling, either one is problematic. But according to Rashi, it's specifically only if the beverage is not fit to be drunk, like oil, and you're also doing it in the obvious way of a fool, like you're gargling, then it's going to be forbidden. But if, let's say, you drink it in the normal way, that is, you just drink it, even if it's a liquid that's not usually used, but for refuah, like oil, is going to be permitted. And also, if you drink it in the way of refuah, like you're gargling, but you're doing a beverage that's normally drunk, like with the sanigrin, then either one of those is going to be permitted, according to Rashi's interpretation. Now, considering the next taste of the Rimasal, the taste begins with the words of the Gemara, Kivin de Isle Hanomine, since he's having pleasure, he's having benefit from it, so Baye Brucha, then he has to make a bracha, which taste comes to explain that that's actually the halacha by all types of medicine. The Gemara brought that the chiddush in the Braisa is that when someone drinks oil in the anigrin, that even if his intention is for refuah, because he has a throat ache, but since he enjoys that anigrin, the taste as it's going down, so he's chayv in the bracha. So taste says, according to this, v'nirin advarim, it would seem that the halacha is dim adam sheisa mashkin. As some add on the word refuah, if someone is drinking a liquid for refuah purposes, so if it's a bad taste, so the less lehanominate, where he doesn't have any pleasure from it, then yeah, loy boye bruchi, then the person does not have to make a bracha, although he's, so to speak, having pleasure because he's getting healed by this, but that's not considered a pleasure in the physical sense to have to make a bracha on it. But as I was inferred from our Gemara, the isle hanominate, but if he has pleasure from it, boye bruchi, without the healing element, then boye bruchi, so if it's a good tasting medicine, then one would have to make a bracha according to what Taisis is saying. Now we continue with the next Divrei Maskil. Taisus begins with the word Vehilchasa, which Taisus brings that there was a Girsa, Shekasa B'Svarim, that was written in a certain text with this word Vehilchasa. So Taisus Loi Girsin, and we don't have that text in our Gemara, and we actually don't have it either, because the Lashon Hagu, it's the wording of the Baal Halachas Gedailas, Ad Kimcha B'Chul, until the word flower, and therefore not to have that Girsa, and we don't have that Girsa in our Gemaras. Now we continue to Taisus Divrei Maskil. Taisus begins with the words of the Gemara, Kimcha D'Chiti. Wheat flour. Taisa comes to explain exactly what type of flour we're talking about. The Gemara brought a machlekes amarum regarding what's the bracha that when someone eats wheat flour. Rabbi Yehuda says you make a bari pri adama. Rabbi Nachman says you make a shahakoni bedvar. So Taisa says niri would seem to leimari bekimcha mamish. Not to my regular, where you take out the bag of flour and you start eating it. Because nimkein, if that would be the case, leishaycha be bracha the bari pri adama, it wouldn't be appropriate, as one of the opinions had it, that you're going to make on the wheat flour bari pri adama, because it's not a normal way of eating flour. And even if one would eat it, you would make a shahaka, like all other things, that's not the normal way of eating it. Ella rather says, Taisus, mayri bekimcha shakarin ishkalita. Rather, we're talking about a type of flour, which is called ishkalita, which is not so finely ground. This seems to be not like the way Rashi had said. Rather, there's somewhat of a taste of wheat, and it's edible that way. Oy, or bekemach sha'isa mishibay l'shul. We're talking about the flour that's made from oats. Shemiyavshin, where then you dry the grain, bitaner, in the oven, so you have roasted grain, and then there, even afterwards, if you grind it finely down into like a flour, that's where you're going to have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can make a bari pri adama, because that's sweet and has a taste. That is normal for someone to eat like that, to make a bari pri adama, but regular flour, so tastes, the halacha wouldn't be to go ahead and make a bari pri adama. That would be a bracha of shahakal. Now, continuing the next taste of the Rimasal, that begins with the words of the Gemara, Leinati incha dait to the kura. People don't plant it with the intention of the bamboo shoots. Which taste comes to explain that halacha is like Shmuel. The Gemara brought a machlekes in my rum regarding the kaira de dikla, regarding the palm shoots of a palm tree, which is this new branches that come out every single year, and it's edible. Rav Yehuda says you make a berry piyadom. Shmuel says no, you make a shahakal. So Shmuel said, Rav Yehuda, sharper on the halacha is like you, because you see, by radishes, ultimately it gets hard. And even so, if you eat it before it gets hard, you make a berry piyadom. So too over here by the bamboo shoots. So the Gemara rejects and says no, because by radishes, the intention of the planting was for those radishes before they get hard. And therefore, you can make a berry piyadom, even though if you would leave it at the end, it would get hard like a tree. Whereas by the palm shoots, it's not planted for that because it diminishes the tree, and therefore the halacha is not going to be like that. It's going to be a shahakal. So Tei says from the wording of the Gemara that says v'alohi, it seems that the sub of Gemara kavasei d'shmul, that that's actually how the Gemara concludes, like Shmuel, which that the bracha shahakal. So vim kain, if that's the case, Tei brings a few different cases like this that leisin lulavi gefanim. So these tendrils, which they grow around the grapevine, and they're edible. These like types of shoots. The loy not the insha daiti dahachi. People don't plant it for that intention. So mevarchin on alahi shakal nibidvar. So the bracha is going to be shahakal, like we're learning over here in our Gemara from Shmuel, that whatever you don't plant for that intention to eat it, even though it's edible, you can make a shahakal because it's not the primary idea of what it was planted for, and therefore you're going to make it's like not kederach achalasi, and you're going to make a shahakal. So it says tayzav oisin shkedim. Those almonds kishen rachim when they're soft, oichlin klipas nachitzen. You could eat it with the outer shell. But says Tosaf, people don't usually plant it for that purpose. To eat them when they're soft. The intention of these almonds when they're planted is that when they get matured, then you're going to eat the nut itself that's inside the shell. So if you're eating it when it's still soft before it hardens, and you're eating the outer shell, you're going to make a shahakal. There also you can make a shahakal because although now it's edible and it's good to eat, but it's not the primary intention, and therefore the bracha is going to be, as we said, shahakal. Now we continue to Amud Beis. We begin with Taisi de Masel. Taisi begins with the words of the Gemara, klipi agoizim hagarinim, that the peels of the nuts and the seeds, chayavim ba'arla, they're all included in halacha of arla, which the Gemara brought a Mishnah Masechtas Arla that said that the peels in the pits of the nuts are chayav in arla. So Taisa understands we're talking about all types of pits that of any fruit that it has the same halacha as the pri, as the fruit itself for arla, that the first 3 years forbidden to be eaten. Now what's the reason? Says Taisa, because the perininu, because they're all considered part of the fruit itself. So Mika'an from here says Taisa shesh lavarch al garinun, so that you should make a bracha on the seeds, the pits. Shall gidgonios of cherries, vigarini afraskin, and the pits of peaches, vishal tapuchum of apples, vachomin the garinim shall pass, and all the pits of all types of produce, bari priya eitz. You're going to make the bracha of the fruit itself, that Hashem makes the fruits of the tree, because like Taisa is learning from our Gemara, that the pits have the same halacha as the pri, and therefore one would make a bari priya eitz on the pit of the fruit. Now continuing next Taisa, the Rimaschal, Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, in kaitzin ilonis b'shviz. You don't chop down the tree in the Shemitah year. So Taisa comes to explain why isn't it sufficient that you shouldn't any year because of Baal Tashchis of chopping down the tree. That is, the Gemara brought a Mishnah Masechta to Shviz that says you can't cut down the tree in the Shemitah year. And the Gemara says, when does that start? And that's what's qualified in the Gemara. Now, what's the reason why it's forbidden to cut down a fruit tree in the Shemitah year? It's because the Torah says the fruit of the Shemitah year is la'achlo, which we expound, to eat it and not to ruin it. I mean, you're not allowed to ruin the produce of the Shemitah year, and you're going to cut down the tree, you're not going to be able to eat the fruits because it's going to wither away. On that, Taisa is asked to take a second look. And Taisa, if you're going to say, Polei Shviz Nami, forget about the halacha of the Shemitah year. Tebi laid the aser, it's sufficient that it should be prohibited to chop down the fruit tree. Mishum li sashka says, Eitzah, there's halacha in the pasuk in the Varm Chav, says, you're not chop down the fruit tree. So forget about the halacha of Shemitah. So B'yashlam, Taisa says, what you could say is, the loy to'an kava. We're talking about a fruit tree that does not carry a kav of fruit in the whole year. The least shayach by least ashkes, then there's no prohibition of chopping down the fruit tree, of destroying it. Kedisa perk leach, like the Gemara says in Babazach above Manav. It's only if the fruit tree would carry a certain amount of fruit. Or inami, another approach is I we were talking about the meul bedam, that there's more value monetarily lost in mimin akaris to take the wood of the tree and make beams out of it more than the fruits that it would produce. Does least shayach least ashkes zero, so the halach of least ashkes of destroying a fruit tree wouldn't apply. Oh, and that's what Taisa says. That's what the Gemara is telling us. However, but there would still be a prohibition. Even though in two cases we just described, there wouldn't be a problem of leisashchas etza of the fruit tree, there would still be a prohibition of the Shemitah halacha, which says la'achli, you could only eat, not to do business, not to make a loss, and therefore, even if it wouldn't carry a kav, or you would get more money out of the money of the wood of the tree, it doesn't make a difference. That's what we're saying, that there would be a problem of being kaitz in the lanes b'shvias. Next, Taisa de Masel Shteis begins with the words of the Gemara, Shiuri Kipul Halavim. The measurement is like a white bean. Shteis comes to explain that this halacha that we're discussing in the Gemara is the same thing regarding the halachas of brachas. That is, the Gemara brought from Rav Asi that the measurement of the size of a grape, that it should be forbidden to chop down the tree in the Shemitah year, is, like our Tosfos quotes, is the size of a white bean. Baru pachas mekan, but that's what we're saying, but less than that, lo yav a pera. Then it's not considered as a pre, as a fruit, and therefore it's not that fruit tree, it doesn't have the qualifications, and you're allowed to chop down that type of tree at that point in the Shemitah year, because you're not creating any laws for, quote, peris in the Shemitah year, because it's not considered a pera yet. So Taisa says, mekan yesh lumut, from here you can learn also regarding the laws of brachas. Dal baiser pachas mepul, if you have a grape in the stage of baiser, which is less than the size of a bean, lo yav a vechina, leho, baya priates. Although it's a grape, you're not going to make a bari pri eitz, a bari pri adama, because it's not considered, quote, the pri of the eitz. So, and so it's a lesser stature, which then that makes it a growth of the ground, so to speak, and you can make a bari pri adama and not a bari pri eitz. Now, continuing the next tesis, where tesis begins with lashon hag, the wording of the halachas gedailis. It's actually brought in our Gemara, in parentheses, that says, v'hilchas ha-kama baravashi, halach is like ma baravashi. From the fact that regarding arlo, we say it's not considered a fruit, etc., which basically comes to explain that actually, regarding the laws of brachas, there's no difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lartz. As we'll see, it depends how that's qualified. The Gemara brought Mabar Avashi that his custom was that he would eat the part of the caper bush that was arlo, which was called kafrisin, which was the outer shell, and we throw out the fruit part, which was called the avyonis. Because the Chacham had a machlekes regarding kafrisin if it's chayv meiser, meaning does it have halacha of a qualification of a pri or not? Now the rule is whoever is leaned in Eretz Yisrael, halacha is like a mechutz laretz, and if it's not considered a pri regarding the laws of Arlon chutz laretz. Now the halachas gedailis has a girsa that's brought in our Gemara, although he's at the Gaonim after the purity of the Amoraim, but it was inserted into the Gemara. The halacha is like Mabra Avashi, also regarding the law of bracha, meaning that you don't make on the kafrisin a bari pri eitz, because like we see, it doesn't have halacha of pri. And therefore, it's going to have a lower stature of a bracha, not going to be by a pre-eitz. Now, but Taisa brings that the Ram, one of the Bali Taisas, he said that halacha is not like that regarding brachas, not like the halachas gedalas. The reason is because the legabi arli, yes, you're right, regarding the laws of the fruit in the first 3 years of the tree, which that then the peiros are forbidden, that, yes, he would eat the kafris in the shell, because lav peiruhu, it's not a peiri. Why not? Hainim shem, that's only because the chalameka ba'aretz, because like we said, when whoever is more lenient interpretation regarding to the laws in Eretz Yisrael, halacha k'mayis mechutz laretz, halacha is like a mechutz laretz, which there was an opinion that was brought, that was saw by Rabbi Kiva. So therefore we say regarding kafris, and halacha is like a mechutz laretz. Ava ba'aretz. But points out the Ram, in Eretz Yisrael, vade have a peri. Because we rule not like Rabbi Kiva, we rule like the stringent opinion, that it is considered as a fruit, the kafrisin. And therefore you do take maisers. Umavarchan alav b'ayperitz. So in Eretz Yisrael you make a b'ayperitz. So b'brachas like a chilek bein ba'aretz l'chutzlaretz. Regarding the laws of brachas, we don't say that we go like the lean interpretation. And therefore, since in Eretz Yisrael we make a b'ayperitz on the kafrisin, then you're going to make, not like the halachas gedalas, you're going to make a b'ayperitz also on the kafrisin in chutzlaretz. Now continuing the next taste of Rimaskel. Taste begins with the words of the Gemara b'retiva, and it's moist. Taste comes to learn about many different halachas regarding what's the primary function of a food item. The Gemara brought that the Rabbanan said to Meremer, someone is chewing on Yom Kippurim, something that's not really supposed to be eaten like that way, like ginger, he's potter, because you don't usually eat ginger by itself, and it's not the normal way of eating. That the Gemara asks from a statement of Rava, that we find there's a certain dish of ginger that we see that you make a bari adama. So obviously it is a food item that you eat by itself, and then you make adama. So the Gemara says, no, it's not difficult. The Gemara said, kamberitiva, as Tais explains, kagoin lituria blas, which is a type of moist ginger, where then the norm is to eat it by itself. That's what the Gemara was saying, mevrachin ala bari pri adama. Then you can make a bari pri adama. Avol yevashta, but like our Gemara was saying, but if it's dry, then lo mevrachin ala, then you're not going to make a bracha on it, because it's not a normal way to eat it, and therefore, yes, if you eat it in Yom Kippurim, then one's going to be pata. And it says, teis vachin alocha bezangvila, which is dry, shekarin gingerbro blaz, similar to the word ginger as we know it, vachin klov shal grufli, shein regilim lechel el beritiva, that's only normal to eat it when it's moist, kagoin bluturiyev, which is also this type of moist ginger, that ein mevarchin aleim klal b'yaveshta. It's only normal to eat it when it's moist, but you don't make a brach when it's dry. It's the same idea as our Gemara was saying. Avol eitchel kinnamon, but regarding cinnamon sticks, cinnamon wood, shakarin kanila, then mevarchin alav b'yipri adama, even though that is dry, and we just said before regarding ginger when it's dry, then you don't make the bracha b'yipri adama. But here by the cinnamon sticks, if you do eat it, you do make a bari pri adama, because it's normal to eat the cinnamon sticks when they're dry. And Vigamu Godal Alaart, it also grows on the ground, Kamekanim, like the sugar canes, and therefore the bracha is going to be Bari Pradama. But, says Taisa about Tsukuro, which is similar to the word sugar as we know it, which is the type of stick, a cane, that they extract sugar from, Mevarchinu Bari Pra'et. They actually make that you bless Hashem that He created the fruits of the tree. Why? Kiyari im divshi, because the pasuk in Shir Hashim that says, my forest with honey, where do you have a forest with honey? Where is there a tree of honey? Says Taisa, is that Tsukuro? That's the sugar cane. And you see it's called the Yari, a forest, it's trees, and then we're going to make a Bari Pra'et on the sugar of the cane. And Taisa says, ve'ego shakarin mashkado, the musket nut, mevarchinu Bari Pra'et to make a Bari Pra'et, shagam noigin lechol, eisa b'yevish. There also, the norm is to eat it dry, so though a nut is dry, and we said, oh, dry, then you're not going to make the appropriate bracha. No, the musket nut is normal to eat it dry, and then we're going to make the bracha of those nuts, which besides peanuts, you make a Bari Pra'et. The Ketim next taste of the Remaskot, as begins with the words of the Gemara, whatever has from the five types of grain, mevarchin alav bayir min mezainis. You make a bayir min mezainis. Which Tosfos can explain also many different halachas that apply to the chamishas aminim, which the Gemara brought from Rav and Shmuel that they both said, whatever's from the five types of grain, you make a bayir min mezainis. So Tosfos says, according to this, v'chein klayrich balas, which is a French word, sha'isim mikemach amayim, where they would make it from flour and water, or from flour and milk, mevarchin alayim bayir min mezainis. You make a bayir min mezainis. So again, because there's the, one of the ingredients is flour. And when you put flour into beans, like or into lentils, like krishim, or into leek, and also that you put into almonds that you make for a sick person. If you're doing it to be satiated for as part of the meal, where you're adding the flour because one of the ingredients for the taste, so then then you have to make a Bari Min Mezainis, like the rule that Taisa is quoting from the Gemara of Rabbi Shmuel, that whatever has one of the five types of grain, you make a Bari Min Mezainis. But Taisa points out, v'im ledevik ba'alma, but if you're only putting the flour in just to, as a something to combine the foods together, as a connector, as sometimes in certain products it's there just as an emulsifier, something to just to connect the things, the ingredients, then in the Tzarech Levarach Bari Min Mezainis says Taisa, then you don't have to make a Bari Min Mezainis, because again, that's not the primary as an ingredient itself to be eaten, and therefore that's not going to make a Bari Min Mezainis. But says Taisa, v'tovel ha'achmer, but it's better to be stringent, v'lagomer b'teich ha'suda, to then swallow it, meaning to eat it in the meal, la'achar berchas ha'maitzi, after one made a berchas ha'maitzi, u'pata me'man v'shach, and then either way, you're going to be exempt, because it's like, what's called Dvar Maboy Metecha Suda, foods that come in the middle of the meal, which, like cake, things that are mezainis, you don't have to make a separate bracha on it anyway. So therefore, then you can take care, because ultimately, since it does have one of the five ingredients, Taisa says better to be stringent, and because ultimately it has Mechamish Aminim, and so therefore maybe one would make a Bari Min Mezainis, so because of that doubt, says it's rather one should have it in the Suda, and then either way, it's going to be Yetzu with the bracha of Amaitzi that he made on his bread meal.